Hello, welcome to NC Asian American Ministries Podcast. My name is Sammy Ju, your host. We've been going through the series called The Love of the Lord. Do you love the Lord? Do you seek the Lord, even when you don't feel His presence? And that's something that we're going to look at today, because we're going to read from the book of Psalm chapter 42, and you will see, you will hear the anguish of a person crying out to the Lord, and where are you? And the people around him and saying, where is your God? So it was a very difficult situation, but he is finding hope in God, even in that situation. So I really want to pray and hope that this message would speak huge in a big way to you if you are going through a very tough and difficult and physically, emotionally, spiritually distant time right now. So let's read from Psalm chapter 42, the whole chapter. Let's do it. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember, and I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go along with the throng, and lead them in a procession to the house of God, with a voice of joy and thanksgiving, a multitude-keeping festival. Why are you in despair, O my soul, and why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him for the help of His presence. O my God, my soul is in despair within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of the Jordan and the peaks of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the sound of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have rolled over me. The Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and His song will be with me in the night, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As a shattering of my bones, my adversaries revile me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. Amen. This is God's word. What a powerful word it is. Now, this psalm was written by sons of Korah, and many biblical scholars say, you know, these sons of Korah must be in exile, which means they were not in Jerusalem, they were not in Israel or Judah, but they were in Assyria or Babylon, far away from the temple of God. So here, as you see, that there's a desperation, devastation, and deep anguish. That must be coming out from their desire to worship the Lord in the temple, the house of God, together as a community. Now, let's see again how much intensity it was there when they were seeking God. So let's look at verses 1 through 3 again. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? So do you hear the deep desire here? That the thirsty deer was looking for water, for life. Just like that, this psalmist is looking for God for life. That's what you see here. And also verse 3, because there's a problem. It says, my tears have been my food day and night, just not just for a few hours, but day and night, all day. While they say to me all day long, where is your God? Do you see the anguish here? Now, if you are suffering for 2 hours or 3 hours, it is still painful, but it's not like all day. But here, notice the phrase here, all day, day and night, my tears have been my food. What a powerful expression of pain and suffering, ongoing troubles surrounding this guy here. But notice that the question here in the last part of verse 3 says, where is your God? That was the biggest point of problem this psalmist is bringing up. Now, he was not depressed or discouraged by ridiculing by somebody else saying, oh, you are a loser, or look at you, you're not capable, and you are foolish. No, he was not upset by that. This person was upset by this question, where is your God? Now think about this. Now they are in foreign country, and that country was not the country believing in God. You know, there must be a pagan country. They're worshiping idols, and they're not believing Jehovah, the God of Israel. So it's very natural for them to say, hey, look at your God. He's not doing anything. He did not save you. Because you are in our country under our authority, you are our slaves. And so your God is not powerful. So where is your God, right? However, in this context, this question, where is your God, is coming from this psalmist's friends. They were once together to worship God in the sanctuary, in the temple, in the house of God. Let's look at verse 4. These things I remember, and I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go along with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with the voice of joy and thanksgiving, a multitude-keeping festival. Do you know what's going on here? These people were together to worship God, but not just to worship God. They were filled with joy and thanksgiving in the house of God, right? They were praising God together. But now, in this exile, in this foreign country, this many people were saying, where is your God? They're not even saying, where is my God? They're saying, where is your God? So imagine what was going on there. It's like this. Oh, you know what? Many years ago, when we were in Jerusalem, we used to worship the Lord together, and we had a great joy and passion. But now what? God is not really doing anything for us. We're in the foreign country, and we are slaves, and, you know, I don't want to worship God anymore. I don't even know He exists. Maybe you can worship your God, but I'm not going to do that. By the way, where is your God? It looks like your God is not really doing anything for us. See? This must be really devastating spiritual distancing situation. I remember, you know, when I grew up in Korea, I went to college in Korea, and that college was a Christian college. So every week, every Wednesday morning was a mandatory chapel service. So whether you're a Christian or not, you have to be in that chapel, no exception. So we had some guys who were not paying attention to worship or preaching at all, because, you know, that's understandable. They were not Christians. They were not believing in Jesus anyway. They were there just for the school credit. But there were other guys who were very passionate. You know, they were worshiping the Lord, and they even cried. And every time when the preacher was saying, these guys were saying, amen, amen. And one of them was a friend of mine, and he always said amen. So his nickname was Amen Boy. And then we even went to Hawaii for a Youth with the Missions and the Disciple Training School. And so we had a great time. So in my memory, he was a really amazing Christian man, loving the Lord and praising the Lord. But now what? He's not walking with the Lord at all anymore. And whenever I look at his Facebook status, it's very sad, because he's not only not believing in God, but also he is sometimes despising believers as well. It's almost like, where is your God, right? Coming out from someone who used to believe in God. You know, it is a very, very devastating, sad reality when someone leaves God, forsakes God. Maybe have you experienced that? Maybe some of your friends or close friends or even family members who used to be in the church and used to worship the Lord but not walking with God anymore. How do you feel about that? Don't you feel the spiritual loneliness that you are all here alone worshiping God, but no one around you is really supporting you anymore because they left their faith? They're not walking with God anymore. That is the most lonely situation. So that is what's going on here. The psalmist is not only feeling distance physically because they are away from Jerusalem, the temple of God, but also he is experiencing emotional distance, right? So there is no camaraderie around him. And, you know, those people who used to worship God are not walking with God anymore. Emotional, physical distance was there. It was even more serious than social distancing that we are experiencing right now. How about this? How about our situation? You know, when you think about December 2019 or even, you know, first week of March, we had a good time. We're meeting all together physically on Saturday, and whenever we met together, we worshiped the Lord. The music was great, and, you know, the lights were great, the stage and the building and food pantry and a clothes giveaway and the kids with their smile and all together. It was a so great time. Maybe some of you miss that so much. I miss that too. But right now, you know, we're meeting online, so we feel kind of distance, right? And you may feel like, you know, Sammy, when we are meeting together, I used to feel the presence of God, but I don't really feel that presence of God anymore these days. I feel so much a distance, not just physically, but emotionally, even spiritually. You know what? I understand that. And that's exactly what the psalmist is going through now in this passage. But here is the hope. And I pray that this hope would be yours as well. In verse 5, there are two main principles when you are going through that spiritual, emotional, physical distance, which is this: hope in God. Hope in God and praise Him. So let's look at verse 5 together. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God. For I shall again praise Him for the help of His presence. Can you repeat after me? Hope in God and praise Him. Hope in God and praise Him. These are the two main things that we need to do as we go through the social, emotional, spiritual, physical distance these days. Now, this psalmist was going through a very lonely the situation, as I explained before. Maybe some of you are doing that, as going through right now as well. However, we don't have to worry about it, because God's presence is not away from us. He is with us, even when we don't feel His presence. So we can still hope in Him, and we can still praise Him, because He is with us. He is with you. And that's what we're going to look at in next verses 6 through 8. So let's read that together. Oh my God, my soul is in despair within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of the Jordan and the peaks of Hermon from Mount Mizar. Now, these locations are kind of far away from Jerusalem, but here's the first thing that psalmist did. I remember you, right? Remembering God is the first step right here in this passage. And in verse 7, it says, deep calls to deep at the sound of your waterfalls, and all your breakers and your waves have rolled over me. You know what? The presence of God is there in a very powerful way. Your waves, like an ocean, have rolled over me. Now notice the tense here. It's a present tense. It says, have rolled over me. It didn't say did roll in the past, but have rolled, which means it had happened in the past. But even now, at this moment, your presence, God, your presence is so strong with me now. And then verse 8, it says, the Lord will command. It shows the future tense, right? The God will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and His song will be with me in the night, all day long, day and night. A prayer to the God of my life. So what does it tell you? It looks like there was no presence of God being away from Jerusalem, being away from the building, the temple that Solomon built. But it's very easy to feel the distance. And a lot of people left God and they're saying, where is your God? So it's a very, very difficult and dry situation that you are looking for water. You're looking for the presence of God. You're looking for God Himself. However, the answer is this: God's presence have been with you. He never left you. He never forsake you. And His presence is not weak. His presence is strong. Very strong, like a mighty ocean, like a mighty wave. And then His presence will not end right there. He's going to continue His presence with you, with His loving kindness in the night, and with His song of praise in the night, day and night, 24/7, 365 or 366, even in the reap day, God will be with you. His presence will be with you. This is the reality. This is where the hope comes. That's why we need to hope in Him. That's why we need to praise Him forever, at any circumstances, at any time. Book of Exodus, chapter 3, verses 11 through 13. That's a wonderful promise to Moses in saying, I am who I am, will be with you forever. So the mighty presence of God will be with you forever. So that was the promise for Moses. But it was not just for Moses, but it was for the people of God. And God kept His promise, as we saw here in Psalm chapter 42, that mighty God, He never left once from His people. And His mighty presence is powerful, and He will continue to walk with Him, walk with His people. And it is continued in the book of New Testament that Jesus Christ, God Himself, came to the world as Emmanuel, meaning God with us. So the presence of God is continued. And not just that, when He died on the cross and rose from the dead, 40 days later, God sent the Holy Spirit not to live in us. His presence is now in us. And the Holy Spirit does not leave us anymore. His presence is with you. That's why we need to praise Him. That's why we need to hope in Him, even when we feel the distance and the presence of God is not seen physically. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be His worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to Him, "I know the Messiah is coming, He who is called Christ. When that one comes, He will declare all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am He." Do you see Jesus' point? The woman was saying, where should we worship? Is it this mountain or that mountain? She was looking for a location. But Jesus was saying, rather than location, He said, God is looking for people who worship in spirit and truth. The location was not even mentioned. That was not the point. But the point is the spiritual transformation. That you need to be filled in the spirit and the truth to worship the Lord. Which means if you are filled with His spirit and the truth, you can worship God anywhere. It doesn't have to be a temple of God in the Jerusalem. It doesn't have to be a specific location. It doesn't have to be the West Wake Church facility, or it doesn't have to be in a big stadium, or it doesn't have to be in your home country. It can be your home. It can be your school. It can be your office. It can be anywhere you go. As long as you are filled with His Spirit and the truth, you can worship Him. So you don't have to seek for the location anymore, but you need to seek God with all your heart, with all your mind, being filled with the Spirit and the truth. That's all God is looking for, looking from you. Now, as we are moving into the house church, and it's an amazing opportunity. I really do believe that. Because by doing this, we're exercising intentionally that we're not looking for a specific location or building, but we're looking into worshiping God in spirit and truth. Because that is the only thing God requires from us. So in any circumstances, we have the presence of God, so that we can hope in Him and we can praise Him anywhere, even in the exile, even in this COVID time, even online or offline, in the Westlake place or inside of home, anywhere we go, we still can worship the Lord. So that's my prayer and hope, that as you are worshiping in your homes with your family first, but also with other families together on Friday or on Sunday as you're meeting as a house church, I really want you to feel the full presence of God together. You don't need a professional musician. You don't need a professional, beautiful lights or building. You don't need any of them. All you need is, again, the Spirit and the truth, the presence of God, so that you can truly hope in Him and praise Him. Now, we're living in a very difficult time. And then you may still feel like, even after we go through all this house church, you may still feel like, you know what? I don't really feel the presence of God. And I feel like God has completely forgotten me. You're not alone, because even the psalmist is feeling that way. So let's look at the next part, which is verses 9 through 10. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? As a shattering of my bones, my adversaries revile me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? You know what? This can be the ongoing process, ongoing problem. Even after we feel all the presence of God, but right next day, somebody will come up to you saying, and where is your God? Right? And you may feel from inside of you, you may think like, oh, where is my God? And God, why have you forgotten me? Are you ignoring me? Are you really thinking of me? So inside and out, you may have all these questioning about the presence of God. But whenever you have that question, again, what you and I need to do is this. In verse 11, this is repeated from verse 5. It says, why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. You see the point? Yes, we will go through this. There will be a ups and down. And when you are in up, you may feel the presence of God is so strong, right? But when you are down, you may feel like, where is my God? And your friends, your family members will say, where is your God? I don't really think God that you are believing is helping you at all, right? But even in that situation, remember, we need to hope in God and praise Him, no matter how distant we feel from the presence of God. Because, again, He never left you. He has been with you. And He will do amazing things in His way, in His power, day and night. So trust in Him. This woman in the well, she was saying, oh, the Messiah will come. But Jesus said, I am He. He was right in front of the woman, just like that. When you feel like, oh, the God is going to come and help me someday, or He's going to show up someday. No, He is with you right now. And He is going to do amazing work in and through you. So believe in the Lord. Seek Him and hope in Him and praise Him 365 days, 24/7. And based on your praise, you will see amazing work of God in your life. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this powerful and encouraging message for us. Father, we pray that no matter what situation we go through, Father, we want to hope in you and praise you with the Spirit and the truth, so that we will not forget your ever-present, your presence with us. And we will continue to put our hope in you, because we know that there are some people who may leave you and who may forsake you and who may ridicule other people saying, where is your God? But Father, let us not be discouraged by that, but let's be continually desperate for you and be filled with your presence each day, so that we will be victorious and we will proclaim your word and your presence with anybody that we see in the future. Father, we thank you, praise you. In Jesus' holy name, I pray, amen.